You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you, and they're all brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
It's unbelievable the degree to which our sanity depends on a functioning sociological structure. And here's why. Well, first of all, you kind of need to know what to do every day. You have to have a routine because you're an animal. You know, if you have a dog or a cat, dogs are a really good example of this. Dogs like routine. They like to be walked the number of times a day that they're supposed to be walked, and they get quite sick very rapidly if you don't routinize their days. Children are exactly the same way. Now, you can overdo it, right? But still, you know, you need to know approximately when you should get up. It should be approximately the same every day. You need to know approximately when you're going to eat. You need to know what you're going to eat. You need to know who you're going to eat with. You need to know where to buy your food. It's like 80% of your life, 70% of your life, something like that, consists of those things that you do every single day, that you repeat. And those are often the things that people think about as the trivial elements of their life. But one of the things I would like to point out to you, if you do the mathematics, I did this with a client of mine who was having a hard time putting his child to bed. They were having a fight every night. And I knew by that time, the studies indicate that most parents only spend 20 minutes per day of one-on-one time with their child. Now, the reason for that is that people are busy, and it's actually not that easy to parse out 20 minutes of one-on-one time. It's a lot bloody more time than you think. But that's all there is, 20 minutes. And he's spending like 40 minutes a day fighting with this kid, trying to get the kid to go to bed. And that's not very entertaining. You know, you think, well, it's just having a scrap with the kid about going to bed. But it's no. If it happens every day, it's a catastrophe. So you do the math. So we'll say 5 hours a week for the sake of argument, just to keep it simple. It's 20 hours a month. It's 240 hours a year. That's 6 40-hour work weeks. So that guy was basically spending a month and a half of work weeks doing absolutely nothing but having a wretched time fighting with his son, trying to get him to go to bed. Horrible, right? That's just way too much time to spend doing something like that if you want to actually have a positive relationship with someone, because it's just too punishing. Well, so you need structure, you need predictability, and you need more of it than you think, just to keep you sane. Now, if you're lucky, and maybe a bit odd, you can deviate 5% from the norm, or 10% from the norm, or something like that, carefully and cautiously, as long as the rest of you is all well-ordered in a normative manner. You might be able to get away with that, and you might be able to sustain it across time, and people might be able to tolerate you if you do it, or maybe you'll get really lucky and you happen to be creative but reasonably well put together, and people will actually be happy that there's something idiosyncratic and unique about you. But even under those circumstances, mostly what you want is to have a routine that's disciplined, that's predictable, and bloody well stick to it. You're going to be way healthier and happier and saner if you do that. And then the other thing that you need, because this is one of the things the psychoanalysts got wrong, I think, is that they overestimated the degree to which sanity was a consequence of internal, of being properly structured internally, you know? Because from the psychoanalytic point of view, you're sort of an ego, and that ego is inside you. And of course, it rests on an unconscious structure. But the purpose of psychoanalysis is to sort out that unconscious structure and the ego on top of it, and to make you a fully functioning and autonomous individual. But there's a problem with that, because the reason that you're sane as a fully functional and autonomous human being isn't because you've organized your psyche, even though that's important. The reason that you're sane, if you have a well-organized unconscious and ego, is because other people can tolerate having you around for reasonably extensive periods of time and will cuff you across the back of the head every time you do something so stupid that people will dislike you permanently if you...
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Continue. And so what people are doing to each other all the time, just nonstop, is broadcasting sanity signals back and forth, right? It's like you smile at people if they're not only behaving properly, but behaving in a way that you would like to see them continue to behave. You frown at them if they're not. You ignore them if they're not. You shun them. You roll your eyes at them. You manifest a disgust face. You don't listen to them. You interrupt them. You won't cooperate with them. You won't compete with them. It's like you're blasting signals at other people about how to regulate their behavior so frequently. Well, it just makes up all of your social interaction. That's why we face each other and we have emotional displays on our face and we're looking at each other's eyes and we know as much as we can about what's going on with each other, given that we don't have immediate access to the contents of their consciousness. And so partly what you're doing with your routine is establishing yourself as a credible, reliable, trustworthy, potentially interesting human being who isn't going to do anything too erratic at any moment. And everyone else is around there tapping you into shape, making sure that that's exactly what you are. And that's how you stay sane. And so what happens to people too, if they don't have a routine and they get isolated, is they start to drift. And they drift badly because the world is too complicated for you to keep it organized all by yourself. You just cannot do it. So we outsource the problem of sanity. And it's very intelligent that we outsource the problem of sanity because sanity is an impossibly complex problem. And so the way that we manage the incredibly complex problem is we have a very large number of brains working simultaneously on the problem all the time. It's like a stock market for sanity. I use that definition with purpose because the stock market does the same kind of impossible thing, right? Because it tries to price things, which is impossible. How many things are there? Like a billion. How in the world do you decide what the price is? You can't decide what the price is. That's why you have a stock market. Well, in a free market, I mean for consumer goods, is everyone's voting on what the price of everything is all the time. And that's the way we figure it out because it's technically impossible. That's partly why the stock market explodes now and then and there's bubbles and all that sort of thing. But anyways, the point is, things are chaotic. In Alice in Wonderland, when Alice goes down the rabbit hole, that's the underworld, right? So now she's gone into the substructure of being. And she meets the Red Queen. And the Red Queen is Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is running around yelling, "Off with their heads, off with their heads," which is, of course, what Mother Nature does. And she tells Alice, "In my kingdom, you have to run as fast as you can just to stay in the same place." And that's exactly right. And that's a description of, in fact, evolutionary biologists and psychologists have picked up on that phrase. They call it the Red Queen problem. And the Red Queen problem is everything's after you all the time and you're not smart enough to do anything about it or enough about it. And so that's a permanent existential problem. So how do you deal with that? You've got a biological structure. So your embodiment is part of the solution to the problem. And then you're enculturated. And because you're enculturated, you're taught a lot of things that you need to know, but mostly what you're taught is how to communicate with other people in an acceptable manner. And then once you can communicate with people in an acceptable manner, then you can outsource your problems constantly, which you're doing constantly. And so we're in this continual dynamic exchange of problem solving. So if you're a socialized person, that's what you get access to.
You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you, and they're all brought to you by the First Amendment. Freedom, moving like a river in my soul. Learn more at freedomforum.org.